Here's something we hope you really like.
You're listening to
Creating Daily.
There's something wrong with you. You know that?
Because you and I are like a mullet. Sid is the business, so he's the front part of the haircut, and then I'm the party in the back.
I think they're hilarious.
Speaks to me. It's like he's saying what I'm thinking.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Creating Daily. My name is Billy Thorpe. I'm your host, and I'm all the time rushing around doing all kinds of crazy stuff right before the show. But welcome to the podcast. If you've never been here before, then thanks for coming. If you've been here, thanks for coming back. I don't know why you're back, but you're here, so we're going to have a lot of fun. And once again, this show is all about bringing on other creators to talk about the creator journey. And so today I'm going to be joined here in a few minutes by my friend Ryan Sullivan, my new friend. We literally just met moments ago. He is a podcaster, podcast producer, and was on the verge of quitting and then made a little turnaround. So I want to talk about that perseverance as a content creator, because there's a lot of stuff we're doing, and I think it's good to get a perspective from somebody who, like him, like myself, who've wanted to quit probably several times, maybe even several times this week, but we haven't, and so we want to share some of those strategies of how we overcome, you know, all those things that make you want to quit. But before we do, as you know, we got some highlights.
Creator highlights.
No cooking necessary, no assembly required.
It's got to be funky.
All right, it's got to be funky, and I want to just shout out my friends over at mavencoffee.com. This is the best coffee in the world. Literally, it's award-winning micro lots that are handpicked by the Maven team and include step-by-step brewing instructions to ensure that you have an exceptional cup of coffee. So if you're a coffee fan, I want you to head over to mavencoffee.com and check those guys out. I have this imported to Puerto Rico every single month because it's amazing. And no offense to my Puerto Rican friends, but your coffee just isn't really that great. Anyway, Colombian Coffee is awesome, so go check that out. And then our creator highlight today is my friend Manny Cabo. Now, some of you may have seen him on The Voice. He is an award-winning music photographer. I mean, literally, this guy is like the definition of creator. He's a photographer, live streamer, podcaster, YouTuber. I mean, he is doing everything. And he's had one heck of a year last year. A storm came through up in New Jersey. Completely wiped him out. Flooded his house, flooded his recording studio, podcast studio, all his camera gear, all that kind of stuff. And I sat there, I watched it, you know, one phone calls from him and just, you know, keeping me in the loop. But then also just kind of saw it go down on Instagram and just watched him, his whole house basically ruined, his studio, all this stuff. But yet he got back on his feet again, started rebuilding it, and literally did it with a smile on his face. I couldn't believe it. He's easily one of the nicest guys I've ever met and just persevered. And talk about a creator not wanting to quit. Many of us would have thrown in the towel, but he made it through there. So I wanted to give him a shout out. So be sure, once again, I'll go to the slide if you're watching. Manny Cabo, the Manny Cabo on Instagram. Go follow him. And you can go check out all the stuff he's doing. He's doing a lot of stuff. Super multi-hyphen creator. So we appreciate him always being a blessing to the community. So it's always awesome. All right, now let's get into a little bit of podcasting news.
That's news to me.
Creating Daily.
All right, I get my podcast news from Pod News, so thank you, Pod News. If you guys don't follow them, be sure to do that and follow their podcast. But they announced yesterday that a company called PRX, which is one of the world's leading podcast publishing companies, announced that they've partnered with Google to do this Google Podcast Creator Program. So it's basically like a podcast accelerator for audio producers all around the world. And applications open on March 29th, so if you want to be a part of that, and they close on April 24th. And some of the things that are included are 20 weeks of intensive training, which is pretty crazy. Throughout the training program, teams will be guided through pitch decks, production, marketing, monetization, audio, all those fun things. And at the end of the program, they're going to have a showcase of the work. They're going to get up to $20,000 of funding for production costs, as well as travel reimbursements, one-on-one coaching, all that kind of stuff. And then also access to like a network of other content creators and podcasters and that kind of thing. So pretty cool. If you're going to go sign up for that, I would just say go read the fine details. I know a lot of friends of mine have went to competition style things and didn't sign the contract because of what was in the contract. So make sure you just double check that and protect yourself as a creator. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but there's big companies doing these things for a reason. Maybe they're trying to get your ideas. All right, put on your. I'm going to put my tin hat back in the box now and invite my friend Ryan Sullivan on the show, and let's get into this podcast, man. What's going on, Ryan? How are you, man?
Hey, I'm good, man. Doing well. How are you?
Man, I'm doing good. I am better.
Excited to be here, brother, to talk podcast.
Yeah, man, I'm doing good. I'm better now that we're here, that we're recording. And I think you and I both talked about it before the show. Maybe both of us struggle with a little bit internet problems, so hopefully this thing will stay together.
Hey, got to keep the faith, man. That's really, you know, there's a lot of things you can't control. And I talk about that a lot when I, you know, in my coaching programs with people and helping them start podcasts, you know, and it's like, what can we control? You know, so that's one of those things. It is what it is. I lost I lost my audio the other day after my power went out while I was recording a live podcast. So, you know, everything has happened that could happen. Right. So probably to you too.
Yeah, if it's going to happen, especially if it involves the internet, that's always like, that's like my kryptonite or whatever. So, well, man, appreciate you coming on here. And I definitely want to talk about persevering through the creative process and being a podcaster. But before we jump into it, man, you do have a company called Podcast Principles where you guys are helping launch people, you know, with podcasts. So tell me a little bit about that before we jump into how you got there.
Yeah, sure. So I'm the founder of Podcast Principles. We help people launch podcasts primarily without wasting time. That is my number one goal, because I spent 4 years, you know, developing my podcast, stopping, starting again. We'll go into the story of that. But really what we do is create a systematized process to launch your podcast. And I think a lot of, you know, really the main question we get is like, how do I do it? Should I do it? Is my idea good enough? Are people going to listen to it, et cetera? So we just developed a system to do that over the course of 5 calls in the beginning. And then we also do production for people's podcasts as well, if that's something that they need. But all in all, it's a one-stop shop podcast launch system for personal brands. We've worked with companies and businesses before, but it's mostly, you know, solo entrepreneurs, solo creators that want to have a systematized and kind of coherent way to start their podcast without any of the BS of searching thousands of hours on Google and YouTube.
Man, I love it. Anytime you can cut the learning curve down for somebody, like, that's value in itself. So that the fact that you guys are not only going to do that, help them get started, get all their ideas together, put it out there, but then manage it for them as well, or have that option, is pretty cool. So, man, you shared a little bit of your story with me, and part of that story is that you were a mechanic who went podcast, right? Hopefully I didn't lose you here. But so tell me, how in the world did you go from mechanic to podcaster to podcast producer?
Yeah, well, I'll start, you know, where it started. So in my senior year of high school, I decided to quit sports and so I could work. And I realized like the value in learning a skill. Luckily, I realized that early on, and my dad had like had side jobs all throughout, you know, my childhood. I was always helping him. And he was basically just working, you know, all the time, and whether it was his day job or on the side. So I feel like I kind of picked up that hustle. And I wasn't a super competitive person. I almost just liked the camaraderie of sports, but I didn't really I wasn't terrible at them, but I didn't like really excel at them to the point where I really like loved it. So I think I just got to the point where I was just fed up with coaches telling me what to do. And I figured I'm just going to go work and get a job. So I always liked cars. I ended up going to what was called Polytech, like a Vo-Tech school. So half of my day in high school was that. And then the other half was just regular school. And at the same time, I brought my car to a shop. And I walked in and they were like, hey, do you want a job? Like, I'm leaving. Like, this kid that I had played basketball with like 12 years earlier. And dude, I knew nothing about, like, I loved cars. Like, I had a passion for cars my whole life, but I knew nothing about fixing them. So I ended up just taking that job and I ended up being a mechanic full time and part time at 2 different shops over the next like 3.5-4 years while I was in college. So that was kind of the start of the mechanic thing. I mean, I could keep going into the how I got into podcasting as well, but that was the mechanic portion.
Yeah, man. No, dude. No, I want to get into that, because I know you left that mechanic job. You're into podcasting. So yeah, lead me into what got you interested in podcasting? Why did you even get into the industry like as a podcaster? Did you go podcaster first or podcast producer?
So I was a podcaster first. And so what I'm actually also a rapper, and that's what this other logo is there too. I've been releasing music for like 5 years now. And so I had been in the audio world and like the music world. And I always just thought a podcast was a cool idea. I was a massive Joe Rogan fan from like 2014 on. Just loved the medium, loved the style of long form conversation. And just figured, hey, might as well start. A few of my friends were like, hey, man, like we'd listen to it. So if I had a few people to listen to it, that was enough for me to get started. I bought this webcam. I bought a USB microphone and I just got started. I did 2 episodes by myself. And what I would do is I had an Instagram series every Monday called Monday Thoughts. And I would take a minute to describe a certain concept, whether it was decision making or self-improvement or whatever it was. And so I really used the podcast to just expand on those concepts. And the first couple episodes got like hundreds of views. I thought they were going to get tens of views. So at that point I said, all right, this is something. I might as well keep going. I met somebody who made 6 figures on the stock market when they were 21 years old. Immediately that day I turned it into an interview show and I bought another microphone. And now I've been interviewing people since 2018. So, you know, I changed the name. I rebranded it in the first year as well. So yeah, man, it was kind of, that's kind of how I got into podcasting. I just randomly started. And then I had been producing my own music on the side because I couldn't afford to buy music to use for my raps. So producing music led me to mixing audio. And I had a really, yeah. So that's kind of how I got into audio. So I had 2 great mentors. I had 1 mentor for music. His name's Beej Links. He's worked with Diddy. He's worked with Action Bronson. He had a really pretty prominent rap group here in the Philly area. So DM'd him one day. He allowed me to come in the studio, pay for studio time. And he was like my music mentor. Then I got hooked up with a music studio later on. And that was my audio engineering mentor. So I interned there for free creating content. I said, hey, man, let me shoot videos on my phone. I'll edit them. And then you just let me sit there and ask you questions. So I had those 2 mentors, 1 for music and 1 for audio engineering. And then I took that audio and engineering knowledge and I basically just started applying for podcast jobs. And it's kind of funny how I got my first podcast audio editing job after interning that studio, man. But I was living off of savings, and I remember I had $600, I think, in my bank account. Was like when I got my first freelance job. It took me 3 months to make $80.
That's awesome, man. So, okay, so let's dive into that, because my wife, she's a graphic designer, so same thing. So has been in the freelance space for a really, really long time, kind of fighting an uphill battle against idiot graphic designers who don't do what they say they're going to do. But let's talk about that for a second, because there might be people listening who are like, oh, I'm a podcaster, but I want to produce. I love that part of, you know, editing and sitting back and helping people do this. Where did you go? Did you go like to like Fiverr, or like where did you go to find that first job?
I had somebody on my podcast named Tory Grant, and you can look him up now. He's actually a really good skateboarder. And I had him on my podcast. He was recommended by a friend of a friend. And, he came on the podcast and he talked about using Upwork to basically quit his job. Right. So I'm like, hell yeah, dude, I'm going to try this. Like, let's try it. Let's see what happens. Right. So I got on Upwork. Like I said, 3 months go by, man. On my 3rd month, somebody paid me $80. Wasn't even editing. To do a voiceover for a drone video of a covered bridge in California. And that video is still up. That was my first freelance job ever. You could not make this shit up, man.
That's perfect, man. I love that story, dude. I love that story. So I guess, but probably for you at that moment, as like an entrepreneur, as a creator, you're probably like, dude, this is awesome, man. I'm like,
that's what I'm saying. Like great. Some people, and I could get into it, but my first 2 podcasts on paper, like failed. Like the first 2 podcasts that I did for like companies, like after that little $80 job, they like on paper failed. And like, think about it, dude, 3 months in, I make $80. Like my dad's like, are you going to go work at the shop again? Like what's going on? Like he didn't know what I was doing, but every day I was just copy and pasting Upwork messages and just hitting people up. And, you know, it just, and this was before I was on LinkedIn and like built an audience on there too. And I had no idea what to do, dude. I just took what this guy said. He sent me his scripts. I edited the scripts with my name in them and I just kept sending out messages. But my first podcast is probably That one is pretty interesting because I was on Upwork. I had no credits left on Upwork, man. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not buying more credits. This sucks. And I found a company who needed a podcast producer. So what I did was, luckily the company, they had the name of the company on the ad, which is a pretty, that's a lot of companies don't do that, right? Because they don't want to get spammed. They don't want to get spammed with people on Upwork. So, but for some reason they had the name of the company, right? So I'm like, all right, dope. So let me, I went to the company website and it said, book a discovery call. So that discovery call is for like companies who want marketing, because this was a marketing company. So I just typed in my YouTube channel. I'm like, I have 200,000 views. I'm making like, I don't know, I might have probably made everything else up, but I just acted like I was a business. I get on the call with the guy and he was like, yeah, man, like, I don't know why I'm talking to you, but like, I like the hustle. So why don't you come in to the city, interview? And then from there, I ended up doing a whole podcast for them and producing. I literally ended up like editing audio, video, show notes, booking guests, SEO, writing blog posts. Yeah, man. So then that turned into a part-time and then at one point a full-time role, just because I ended up calling that CEO and getting on Zoom. That was the first time I used Zoom. So,
dude, I love that, man. I love that hustle. I love using that little hack of like, yeah, I'll do a discovery call. Now let's talk about something else. Let's
hey, man, this is actually what I want to talk to you about. I'm actually not a business. I'm actually 21 years old and have no idea what I'm doing. But like, hear me out, you know?
Dude, you got me nervous. Now I'm like, wait, is he on my show? Why is he on my show? What's he doing? Is he really who he says he is? What's happening?
Yeah, man, I'm trying to, do you need some editing? I actually have some pointers for you.
On here to pitch me. Okay, that's awesome. Well, man, so you said those first two failed. So that was the first one. So how did it quote unquote fail? Like, what was a failure on paper, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it was not a failure to me at all. Like, I learned so much by working for this company. But it was a failure on paper in the way that, like, they gave me the idea for the podcast, right? So they were like, we're going to have people on the podcast who invest in companies that we want to work with. We're going to have the VCs on the podcast. Then we're going to go to the VCs and ask them for an introduction to these companies that we want to work with. That wasn't my strategy, right? Mm-hmm. So that was their strategy. So I came in and just fulfilled basically the production, the editing, the messaging, and the interviewing. I was the host too. And so, you know, in that was a success. Like I did what I was supposed to do. But what happened was they put me on sales because they realized, like, obviously I could like talk to people and like explain things or whatever. So they ended up putting me on sales and the podcast just went on the back burner.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. And then at the end of the day, they're like, where's the podcast? I'm like, dude, I'm doing like, I'm maxed out 12 hours a day, like trying to do discovery calls and you're not even selling. Like, I'm doing these discovery calls, getting them in the door, and you're not even closing. And then you're like, where's the podcast, you know, that you were supposed to lead, you know? So, yeah, that was – I would never trade it for anything. But at the end of the day, the podcast didn't continue. They took me off of it. I mean, the company went bankrupt. They never even paid anybody. Like, it was terrible. It was a kind of a I hope they're doing better now. But, yeah, that was bad. That was overall, like, a bad – like a – I guess a negative experience, like I said, on paper.
Sure.
But for me, I just learned everything I possibly could and then just got the hell out of there, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Well, and it's good for you to learn, you know, and I did that too, man. I went to work for a nonprofit for like almost a decade and learned like a ton of stuff. I mean, some stuff I wanted to learn, some stuff I didn't, but I just learned a bunch of stuff about media and I'd always been curious about it. But, you know, that is good that you looked at that and said, okay, I'm going to learn something. Because I think a lot of times, man, we're creators, we're career-minded people and we get into something and it doesn't work out. And then we're just like, we take all the bad stuff with us and we don't remember all the good things that came out of that experience, you know, like, oh, I learned how to edit, I learned how to produce and write show notes and timeline and time frames and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So man, that's good on you. And I think that's what some creators listening to this show can take away is like, maybe you do start a show by yourself or with someone else, and maybe it does quote unquote fail, but I don't really think you fail. I think you just learn. So man, take me into the second show and tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, so I get out of here, right? And I'm out of this, you know, this corporate marketing podcast that I built that went on the back burner and everything. And they owed me $200. And I just, you know, got out there. A year later, they ended up sending it to me. So I just thought that was hilarious. But anyway, so I'm back on my own, right? And this is March 2020. So I said to myself, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go full freelance again. and see what I can do. And so somebody called me out of the blue one day, had no idea how they got my number, and we still don't know to this day. And they were like, hey, you're the podcast guy. Come on, we got this project for you. So, you know, long story short, the host was a mentalist. He had been on Jackass, The Ellen Show. Like, he was kind of like a minor celebrity, so to say. And all of his guests that were lined up were all celebrities, too. Like, most of them were like A or like B list, C list celebrities. You know, Gary Busey, Tony LoBianco, Vernon Davis, who's an NFL player, Nick Diaz from the UFC. I mean, like, it was stacked, dude. This podcast was stacked.
Wow.
And yeah. So by any measures like that, you would, by anybody's opinion, this thing once again on paper should have been one of the most successful podcasts, right? So we get to like release day, we release the show, and they're like, once again, oh, are you concerned with the numbers? I'm like, dude, I'm the audio guy. I don't do numbers. Like, where's your marketing budget? You know? And this was $100 million company paying for this.
Oh my gosh.
And but the thing is, dude, they did door-to-door sales, so they had no idea. They never did marketing. They were door-to-door sales company, you know, top line $100 million a year. Like, they don't know marketing. They've never had all their content was internal. It was like internal, you know, showcases and stuff for their employees that was like just to pump them up and want more people to do door-to-door sales. So they took that same mindset to a podcast where it's all about the market. It's all about the listeners. It's all about creating a community. And they had no idea. So that just proved to me as well that, like, okay, so you can be a company with no money that's going bankrupt and not know how to do this, or you can be a company with all the money in the world and not know how to do this. So I got out of those two podcasts, right? And I realized that this something needs to change. I either need to change who I'm working with or change how I'm working with them.
Yeah.
You know, so that experience was extremely valuable to me.
So was that the moment that you're kind of like, man, I might just go be a mechanic, or did you have that moment, or were you like, no, I'm going to push through, or were you like, you know what? Because really, if I were you, I would have probably been like, man, I've worked for two major companies here. One that I didn't know was going to go bankrupt. One has millions of dollars, and I can't get either one of these projects to work. Like, I'm going to go back and do what I know best and work on cars. Did you have those thoughts at all? Is like that going through your mind?
There was actually a moment when that first company asked me to come back, I guess, after they went bankrupt and then started up again. And it was like $300 a week, dude. And my roommate, I remember asking him at the time, and he was like, yeah, just take it, man. Like, all you have to do is like 10 hours a week. And my roommate who said that works for me now. So it's just, you know, crazy. And he, you know, like we're definitely a beginning. We're starting out, you know, it's not like we have some multi-million dollar company now. But anyway, he's like a massive part of what I'm doing now. And he was just looking out for my best interest. Right. But yeah, I mean, my mindset was, you know, I'd live in my car for this shit, you know? So like, I actually was a mechanic after that, part-time, you know, I did that to pay the bills on and off for, you know, 3 to 5 years, went back to the shop that I started at. So yeah, I actually had a part-time gigs like in and out, but I'm also a wedding DJ. So I had that on the side as well. So I always had ways to get by and squeeze by. I don't spend money on things. I only reinvest it in the business. So I can scrape by really easily. So I just figured, shit, dude, if I got to like, you know, go sell cars or like go do Uber or something, I probably would if I had to. But I figure I could sell beats or I could hustle or something like that. So I was never going to go back to anything full time. No, no way.
Dude, that's what I always tell people. They're like, oh, you get a bond, you get to do this thing forever. Like, cause I had a t-shirt printing business for nearly 10 years before the pandemic. And the pandemic was like, you're done. And I didn't really, you know, it's at the place where I was like, man, I really want to do this business forever. And then, similar to you, man, I was in podcasting like as a hobby, I don't think I was making money at that point with it, but I was just in it as a hobby, as a host and having a lot of fun. And then, you know, somebody said, hey, can you help me? And I'm like, sure, I can help you. And then my t-shirt business went away during the pandemic and I'm like, oh, I can help a lot of people. So I started helping them. And then I learned what I was good at, and what I was good at was teach people how to monetize. So I kind of, you know, pivoted just to that. But I'm with you, man. I will work. I told somebody the other day, I'm like, dude, I will work 20 hours, 7 days a week, so I don't have to work 40 for anybody else, because I just want the freedom to do what I want to do when I want to do it, how I want to do it. and being a creator. And that's kind of the thing too, man. Like, I want people to understand, guys like you and I, like, we're still hustling. If we have to, we will go do a part-time job, or we will do whatever it takes to make ends meet. And it's not just, hey, it all goes pretty and all that stuff. And there are times where I wake up and I go, oh man, I could just go work for this. And I've had job offers. They're like, why don't you come to all our media? I'm like, I could do that. I can make 50, 60 G's, insurance. Like, my kid would be happy. My wife would be super happy. You know, it's like, I could just do that. But I know I'm going to rot in that office chair and I'm going to die doing something for somebody else. So yeah. You share that same, like, feeling when you think about it?
Oh, man. Yeah. And, dude, there's months I'm in the negatives. You know, like, this business isn't – this isn't – there's no glory to this, you know? And,
yeah, right.
And being a boss is, like, I tell people, I'm like, it's probably, like, you just don't do it. Like, I don't want to discourage people. But what I'm saying is, like, if you value any of the stuff that your normal, like, 9-to-5 existence gives you, then just stick with that. Like, if you're not willing to reverse everything, then then don't do it, because every single thing is going to get flipped on its head. Your family relationship, your friend relationship with your friends, you know, like, your relationship with your coworkers, your relationship with your clients, your relationship with life itself, your time management, your fitness, your health, your food, like, everything is going to change, you know? So, and it's all in flux. And some days you're on top of the world, and the next day you want to go back to that 9-to-5, right? So, dude, I live that. I don't know if I'm allowed to curse, but.
You're fine, man. You're fine. No problem. No, I'm with you, you know? And it is that, and I always see those little entrepreneur graphs where it's like, you know, you do a deal, you're like up on the mountain, then the next day you're down. And it is that kind of emotional roller coaster. Then I think that being a creator on top of it, like, we're kind of built emotionally driven anyway, so then it's even more, you know, I am anyway, so it's even more of an impact of, like, drama in my mind of, like, hey, can I actually, you know, do this or whatever. So we got a couple people saying hello in the chat here. We got Chris Vaglio, well said, and then Monty Weaver, always supporting the show, so appreciate you guys. You got some people over here on Clubhouse with us as well, and we are going to open this up for a Q&A here in a little bit. So man, then you kind of got into it, and you're like, all right, I'm going to work on my own. I'm not going to go work for any more companies. I'm going to go after this podcast production. What was the system that you used to bring on? Because I know you've helped over, like, maybe almost 3 dozen clients now launch their message to the world. So what was the attractant to you versus anyone else?
Oh, full relationships. It was just people that I knew. And so on that first company that I worked for, that first podcast where the company went bankrupt, they had me on LinkedIn, and they told me that you got to go on LinkedIn. We got to use it to make sales. And thank God that they had me go on LinkedIn, because once I left, I had about 500 connections on LinkedIn. And All I did was start going. I went on LinkedIn and I start messaging people. Hey, I help people. I'm trying to start to help people make podcasts. If you're interested in podcasting, I'll help you for free. I did that probably with 20 or 30 people. And from there, people started asking me to edit their shows or to consult for them. I didn't charge for consulting until 2.5 years in. And so now, it's just, back then it was just that networking. And now I've just created a system for that networking to scale. And obviously I still talk to every single person. I have people that you know, sometimes send out messages or automated emails and stuff, but, like, I have relationships with hundreds of people from my networking on there. So Instagram, I was doing my own thing on there in terms of my music and my personal podcast, so I could go into that. I still make content there, and that's where a lot of my audience lives. But, dude, I was on LinkedIn. I've probably done LinkedIn. First, I did it probably 6 hours a day for 6 months, and now I've done it 2 hours a day at least for probably 2 years. So that's where I developed all those clientele. Yeah.
So what are you doing on LinkedIn for 2 hours a day? What does that look like?
Oh, I could fill it with 8 hours, dude, if I wanted to. But so this is what I do. In the morning, I go on. The first thing I do, my first work for the day, is checking my Slack and just checking in you know, making sure what the clients are saying, what the team's saying. And then I start on LinkedIn. I make a post every day. It's rare that I prepare the post. I usually write every morning. I just write the post right then. People tell you to prepare, you know, like you're going to do with video clips or something. I just do it my way. So I make my post, I post it. And then I have a system for engaging with people. So I engage on certain people's posts, certain influencers' posts, and I have a comment marketing strategy. So say Gary V's post, for example. You're probably familiar with Gary V. Yep. Every day, you can go to any of his previous 5 to 10 LinkedIn posts, and I either myself or my partner have a top comment on that post because we know what to do. That top comment brings us hundreds or thousands of people to my profile. So that's just a portion of the system that we created.
Wow.
That I actually use somebody else's content system. His name is Justin Welsh. He has a LinkedIn course that's pretty solid. I basically took an amalgamation of what he did and then what we're doing. I learned the Gary V comment marketing thing from this girl named Hala Taha. She runs Young and Profiting, a really very successful podcast. So it's been years of trying to figure this out, but that's kind of a glimpse into my system.
That's awesome, man. And is this the same system that you teach other podcasters when they come on and work with you? Is that a part of the program?
You know, we do most of the kind of promotion that we do is to get my number one goal for a lot of these podcasters coming in is get as much of your current audience to become your podcast audience, right? So most of them are already creating on LinkedIn, but some of them do what we do on LinkedIn on Facebook or maybe on these other platforms. So I don't do a LinkedIn deep dive with clients unless they like ask for it.
Sure.
And I'll usually guide them to one of these courses, but we cover kind of fundamentals of promotion. And then, hey, if they want to go deep on LinkedIn, we can definitely go there. But I do separate LinkedIn consulting just from people who ask. I don't like advertise it, but I've done that a few times now.
All right, cool. Yeah, man. I was like, you know what? Cause I just started doing content on LinkedIn, which is this live show right now. I like maybe started yesterday because I forgot. Because I like to go live, and then they're like, oh, yeah, you can go live in like 5 years from now. And so then they finally let me have access, and I forgot all about it. So anyway.
Yeah, and you know, the thing with that is that's different. Sorry to jump in there, but
no,
I just want
good.
People to know this. This is probably the number one thing you should know, is that you can post on Facebook doesn't really care how many people's posts you comment on. So meaning if I post something that people on Facebook like, it will get seen, like if it's good. On LinkedIn, it's much harder to do that. And on LinkedIn, it's more of a trade. It's more of you put the time in, you engage with people, you comment, and then you get rewarded for that. So I just want to set that tone for people.
Okay.
Like if you're not going to put the work in on LinkedIn, just, you know, just know that you're not going to get the results, at least from my experience.
So I'll say this will be my last LinkedIn question, and maybe I'll go offline with you about my curiosity. So you're saying if I go on LinkedIn and I'm getting on here and I go to Nee or Kendrick or David or Joseph or Greg's LinkedIn that's listening over here on Clubhouse, and I engage with them, then LinkedIn's algorithm says, oh, hey, you're a part of the community, so now I'm going to bump your content, or is it just bumping your? What is that? I mean, can you dive into that a little bit? Because like, that's like a pretty easy thing to do to get rewarded in, I guess, whatever. Okay, anyway, you got my question. I'm going to let you
know. No, it's complicated. No, you're good. It's annoying. So I'll start with this. If somebody comments on your post, right, people who are connected with them will see your post. Because it'll say Billy commented on Ryan's post.
Okay.
So now your post gets in front of all of the people who commented's audience.
Wow.
So
all
that's
right.
How posts get seen, right? So, and this happens on Facebook a little bit too, but it's not the same algorithm. I don't know how the algorithm works on LinkedIn. Time of day that you post, the amount of words, not using links, putting links in the comments instead, like emojis, like I'm telling you this, it goes really deep. But I can guarantee you that you will see guaranteed growth and reach if you spend 95% of your time engaging with other people and 5% of your time posting.
All right, man. That's good. That's a good tip right there. 95% of your time engaging, 5% just posting with your own content. And I know a guy, Kevin Schmidlin, I believe is how you say his last name. He's in the Philly area. Had a big podcast called Philly Who.
Yes, he helps people launch podcasts, right?
I think so. But he has this daily targeted engagement thing that he's talking about on Instagram or whatever. And so, yeah, I actually got an interview that I'm editing and putting out with him. But, yeah, man, he's, you know, crushes it with that stuff too. So really interesting about LinkedIn, and that is the thing. Like, don't quit on LinkedIn either. Keep going. And this is the whole thing of like, don't quit show, because it's going to pay off for you in the long run.
If I would have quit 6 months in, dude, I wouldn't. And I have 5,000 connections on there. It's not, I'm not an influencer. Like, there's people that have a million, right? But people come to me now and are like, hey man, you're like, you know, you have this audience on LinkedIn. I'm like, I don't even look at it like that. Like, I still just see myself as the guy with like a few thousand connections, you know?
Yeah.
But then people start, it gives you authority. Like, I have, you know, authors, celebrities, people who have been on, you know, you name it, television show on network television, reaching out to me, hey, I want to start my podcast, because they don't even know me, you know, just by my presence on there. So yeah, man, the dividends pay off, but you got to do that work.
Yeah, man. Well, good on you for not quitting. And I think, you know, if people are listening to this or watching it, it's like, this is the game of being a content creator. If you want to be a content creator for a living, now, if you just want to do it for fun or whatever, but I think when you're in the position that you and I are in, where we're going, hey, we're setting out to do this for a living, you know, like to make money, to do all those things. And I think it's really important to have that game plan, but be willing to pivot, be willing to go eat dirt for, you know, a little while until you get your feet in the ground, be willing to not drink the $8 cup of coffee and drink the nasty Folgers cup or whatever. Maybe I should.
Right here, my guy, that Folgers, baby.
Get that Folgers. I'm over here drinking Maven coffee. I don't even know where mine's at.
Hey, shout out to Maven coffee on the sponsor right there. We gotta love that.
Yeah, man, they're awesome, dude. They're from Colombia. I mean, dude, I was not a coffee drinker. I was actually anti-coffee. They're like, let us make you a latte, see what you think about it. I took three sips and I'm like, this is dope. So I haven't turned back since then. That was a couple years ago. Man, is there any other tips as far as like, things that you do? Do you wake up in the morning and go, don't quit, man, don't quit? I mean, what's the thing that, you know, you do as an entrepreneur to keep yourself motivated? Are you like tracking wins or metrics, or how do you get, you know, inspire yourself as an entrepreneur, as a content creator?
I just watched David Goggins videos over and over again on Instagram. I don't know if you know who I'm referring to, mm-hmm. but yeah, man. Nah, man, I have a routine that I stick to, and really I think this is kind of how I look at it. I've spent the last like 5 years really focusing on self-development and routines and trying to be the best. People say be the best version of themselves. Like, I'm not talking really for other people. I'm talking like, how can I just stay disciplined, stay motivated, stay on track, stay self-aware, and really improve on these higher level skills. So I started meditating like 4 years ago. It's something I do every day, 5 days a week, 4 days a week. Like, I look at all of these habits as kind of additions, right? So every day I can sit down and work and I'm at 100%, right? Like, I don't want to have a habit that gets me from 80 to 100%, because that would mean that I would have to do it. So I would then be relying on that thing. So all of my habits help me. Like, they give me an edge, right? They give me, they help me in some way, but I don't like to get completely tied to them, like, to the point that like I need to do them all the time or no matter what, or else I'll feel different or act different. So meditation has been key with me, just walking, and then just the consistent exercise. I've been just like lifting weights and working out since I was like 15, man. So I've been staying on that and really just developing those consistent habits that work for me. I've done everything. I've done early morning workouts, I've done late workouts, I've done cold showers, I've done journaling, I've done, you know, everything. I have this notebook I used to write down like how I felt about my day and track that. I don't do that anymore. Like, I've probably 99% of the things I've tried, I don't do, but I've just stuck with the ones that work for me. So, you know, it's always tough, but the number one thing that I'm focused on lately, especially managing a team, is just managing emotions, and just being able to respond to something instead of react to it. And so that's been like a lot of my focus lately, because, you know, managing a team and a company is hard, man.
Yeah, man. You know, a couple of takeaways from what you said. One is like, doing the elementary things consistently, I think, is what makes you win at the end of the day. Someone told me that a long time ago. They told me two things. They said, one, it's quality over quantity, And then two, it's, which I kind of still believe that to a certain extent. I mean, I believe there's times that you need quantity just to kind of get ramped up and get your systems in place. But once you kind of hit that plateau of like, okay, now let's work on, you know, quality over quantity. And then the other thing is like, even in your daily routines, you're like, man, I've tried some stuff. A lot of stuff I've tried, I've not, you know, kept. And I think there's like seasons for everything as creators. And if you put yourself in this box, and really as people and entrepreneurs in general, if I said, hey, what I did 5 years ago, I still have to do today, I would probably be real up crap creek without a paddle, because I would still be holding on to something that's just not working now. It's just not working. And so I love it that you're talking about the pivot and going, okay, cool, I might do this for 6 months or 3 months or 30 days to get this habit into place or whatever, but then I may not ever do it again. And so, yeah, man, I love that you brought that up, because I think sometimes as creators, we get married to projects, we get married to systems, we get married to, you know, like the way we did it or the way someone else does it and tells us how to do it. So yeah, man, high five for bringing that in. And then also real quick, Phil Hill over here in Clubhouse says, hey, who's your guest? His name is Ryan Sullivan with Podcast Principles, so you can go check him out. And I tagged a link over here on Clubhouse as well. You can go to that link, and all the information is there. And then once I publish the episode to the RSS feed, all that stuff will live there as well. So, Ryan, real quick, man, before we dip out. And by the way, if anybody has any questions, feel free to drop them in the chat. If you're on Clubhouse, raise your hand. If you're on Bullhorn, call in, chat, questions, boxes there, and we can answer those for you. But before we dip out, is there anything else that we haven't talked about that motivates you not to quit, that you want to share and inspire this audience of creators with?
Yeah, I'll say just know why you're doing it. And this sounds so simple, and this is probably something you've talked about before, but when you are up late making that video clip for your podcast, when you're doing that edit that, you know, your computer died and now you got to edit it all over again. You know, when you're in those moments that everything seems to just really suck, you have to think, you have to understand the bigger picture of what you're doing. And everything that's worth doing is worth doing the right way the first time, if that's possible. So I just think that if you don't have, most people will stop, I think, because they're not, it's not, they can't, they have nothing to go to be like, oh yeah, that's why I do it. Like, I wrote it down, you know, like, now I got to do it because I always do it because this is why. Yeah. So I think just making that evident for yourself is important, man. And I think that it sounds a little fluffy, but I really think that that's a big reason why people stop, is because a lot of people just do and they don't know why they do. So
that's good, man. Know the why and why you do stuff. Yeah, man, love that. I don't think you can get better advice than that. Like, know your why, and it's going to motivate you and drive you, right? It's like people ask me, like, dude, why'd you start a daily show about creators? I'm like, because I want to build a badass community of creators who inspire each other, encourage each other, help each other. Like, I want to win, and I want to surround myself with people who want to win. And if I got to create a daily show to keep the conversation going and keep people lit about creating and motivation and inspiration and all that, then that's what I'm going to do. And that's why every night when my kid goes to bed and my wife goes to bed, guess what I'm doing? I'm putting together a show for tomorrow. And so, you know, that's the reason why. And that's the whole motivation, is like, I want to build this awesome community of creators that, you know, when I'm down and out, they're going to pick me up, and vice versa. So it's pretty dope. So yeah, this is the beginning stages of that and in this project. So man, Ryan, I really appreciate you coming in. I'm just going to jump over to some chats real quick, make sure no one needs anything. Phil Hill says, hello, Ryan. So Phil's a good dude.
What's up, Phil? Appreciate you tuning in, man.
Yeah, man. He's a live streamer over on Amazon. So we got live streamers, we got podcasters, we got authors and teachers, all kinds of people in this community, man. So we really like it. But dude, really appreciate you coming in. I'm going to check a couple other spots here before I let you go, just to make sure we don't have any questions.
Well, thank you so much for having me, man. This was such a good time. I really appreciate your content, your podcast. I'm going to dive into that Amazon episode too, because I saw that and I wasn't able to listen to it yet. So that's interesting to me. And that contest that you mentioned too, I'm going to look into it. I'll look into the fine print though. What a great tip. Because yeah. I've signed up for rap showcases and stuff like that. And then they like, you know, own half your life for like half your life or something like that. So you never know, man. Yeah. But Billy, thank you so much, man. You're doing some great work here. And especially for the podcast community. And the good thing about this is that everybody's on the same page in this community, man, just supporting each other. So I appreciate you being a part of that and having me on.
Yeah, man, you as well. We'll stay connected. We'll have you back on and talk about some other fun stuff as well. So really appreciate you, Ryan. And all right, guys, that's a wrap for today's episode of Creating Daily. Once again, you can check it out, creatingdaily.live. So if you need any show links from today, go to that and go to the live show tab. If you want to be a guest on the show, I'm doing these 5 days a week, Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern time, as long as the world and all the stars align and let me do that. If you want to be a guest, if you're a content creator or you're a creator in some facet that's probably more around podcasting and live streaming, you know, content creation, social media, things like that. If you want to come on and you got a story to share or you got some tips and tricks and you want to build an episode together, I would love to do that. Reach out to me, go to creatingdaily.live and just go to contact and you can shoot me a message there and we'll get the conversation started. And join us tomorrow. We're not going to have a guest on, but I'm going to have a guest co-host, Sid Meadows. Some of you over here on Clubhouse know him. Maybe some of you on my live stream, he's been on with me before, but we're going to recap the week. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be Friday shenanigans. So as long as I get to verbally abuse him a few times, I'll be happy. But bring your takeaways from the week. If you've been listening to all the episodes, bring some takeaways. I'd love to hear it. Would love to get some feedback on our first official week of Creating Daily, creating 5 shows in 1 week, which is pretty fun. And if you have any questions about my experience on that, feel free to ask me as well and get in touch. And what a shout out to my friend Nee. I believe Nee has been on every single episode in the audience, supporting in the back channel chat. So really appreciate that, man. That's what community is all about. I know not that everyone can do that, but really appreciate Nee doing that. So until tomorrow, I'll see you tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Go hit the record button. Go create something great. Go inspire somebody. And just remember, your message matters. So don't quit because somebody else needs you. You heard it today. Ryan has literally helped over 3 dozen people launch a podcast and get their message out to the world. However, he could have quit and just went the other way, and those people would still be struggling trying to get their content out. So don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on others because people need to hear you. All right. Talk to you soon.